Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
I remember the little motorcycles that they used to...
Mini bikes.
Yeah. No. Well, real motorcycles. Yamaha, Kawasaki, they all made these...
Dirt ride bikes.
Yeah. And they had their gorgeous leathers, and the dads were there in the pits and everything. This was really big. And I said, there we are, right there. And Ravenswood is talking to the kids about going out there, and we used to stage funny things like Ravenswood on skis. Ravenswood could be on the motorcycle sitting revving it up by the camera angles you use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just lean me out of it, shoot right past my shoulder, and he's sitting on
there.
Uh-huh. And I had all of these ideas and thoughts. It didn't gel because KTLA's sales department seems could override the station manager and the head of the station on what went on the air. And they said, we can't sell that. No, we need cartoons. That's what kids want to see is cartoons. I don't know if you know that The Muppets is the largest syndicated show in the history of television.
I didn't know that.
Cross were saying it the other day. In the history of television, it's syndicated all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Muppets. So anyway, we had a chance to be in on the ground floor of that, and it's too bad it didn't come off. But
it's a shame.
I cannot go backwards.
Local, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're not visionaries, though.
Yeah, right now on Channel 11 and Channel 13, all they're doing is just showing those cartoons. In fact, John Robick is sitting there announcing, now your kids, here's Bugs Bunny, and that's all there is.
Yeah. And Tom Hatton went back to doing what he had done.
Well, he's the only one left, I think, on Sunday mornings.
And you notice they won't give him any production. They won't help him.
He gave me a good plug, by the way, for my book, that I'm working on it, and I need some help.
Yeah, that's great.
He introduced me to Jack Mercer. The Popeye voice, which was, I never
that
thought
helps.
I'd be able to meet the voice of Popeye. I never thought he'd be on Lives.
Well, that's, you get people like Tom to helping you. But the station isn't helping Tom. He's helping the station.
So what did you do with all of this stuff that you had accumulated for this pilot? Whatever happened with the pilot? Do you have it at home? Or?
Oh, no, they erased it.
Erased it?
Yeah. Don't ask me why. But they erased it.
I
wanted a copy of it, and they erased it. Primarily because they put their money into it, I guess, and they weren't going to let me show it to anybody else. So, but this Pacero I bought, we built the studio. I made up the drawings and everything. They copied and made an exact scale-down reproduction, about fourth scale, that you would sit in with the puppets to fly against chroma key. So the thing would take off and fly against, if you wanted, flying over the Alps or landing on the beach by the ocean.
Yeah, they're big motorhomes and they look kind of futuristic looking.
Yeah, the Pacero had a great look to it because the tail scooped up.
Make it look really
and wide. We had like jet tubes on the back. And as I say, then it became a submarine and I had a nautical wheel that fit right over the steering wheel.
Looks like almost the thing that George Barris guy is doing off the Ventura Freeway. You know the thing that's
the
parked
silver.
Along? Yeah, that big.
Yeah,
reminds me of that.
The big silver thing. It points out and then comes back. It's just an exaggerated.
I haven't seen it.
Barham sitting there. You showed me.
Right off the freeway there when you come over the hill, you see
him.
You look on the right hand side. You see
Can't place it off him.
Got a picture of
he has all those movie cars parked right off the Hollywood Freeway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be interviewing him shortly.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
So that kind of thing died, but that was your last attempt at kind of children's programming.
Yeah, because unless I can do something right and proper, I'm not going to go backwards.
I'm not going to go back and just host films. Does it frustrate you a bit to be working with a company like the Crofts and they're not really doing your style, yet, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt
because,
gosh, I wish I could be doing, I wish I had their budget, I wish I could.
Oh, at one time,
Crofts
yes.
power, so I could be doing my own
because you
creative
could do,
thing.
Yeah. But then I figured, well, it's their bag, so they hire me to voice the characters, and that's what Lenny and I do. And we let them, at one time I had all these great ideas, but they hire people for ideas. They hire us to do the voices. That's what we do.
What makes the cross-production so successful, you think? Do you have any idea?
That's hard to say. Why if three given comedies come on, and two are adequate and one is really excellent, why do the two adequate ones stay on and the excellent one goes off in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Why? Who knows? I never thought Beverly Hillbillies would make it. It was just so slapstick. Mm-hmm. So we were in Phoenix at the time, and I saw the first one, and I thought, what does television come to?
Mm-hmm.
How could Buddy Ebsen bring himself to do a thing like that? Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest successes. So who knows? There is no way to outguess the public. So that's why I got into working for others. Oh.
I had a bunch of really lousy pictures, and I thought I would. I had to have something for you to sign.
Well, let's see what we have here. You want to?
Sure. Well, if you're going to be pulling pictures out, if you can explain the pictures, that'd be good to have on tape.
Elaine DuPont used to work with me a lot.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
She was very much a Debbie Reynolds. I used to have her as a guest on the show because she was, as I say, Debbie Reynolds, a grown-up little girl. I could do Catholic church shows at Christmas time. She wore her cute little Santa outfit. No one resented it. Mm-hmm. She was not a sexy bomb. She broke up and giggled with the puppets like a little kid would. We sang songs, because I always worked, when I did market appearances, I didn't go out and just hand out candy and pictures. I would hire Walkin' Charlie Aldrich, our High Pockets Bussy, and usually I hired Charlie Aldrich because they were a country western band of some name, and I would pay him, if I got 100 and a half, I'd pay him 75. I'd split it even. He'd do the music, and Ravenswood would do a bunch of songs, and Barkey would do the down home Roger Miller kind of songs. So I did about a half hour act, then I gave out the pictures and whatever I had. And so on the shows,
so you feel you had something to give them rather than just pictures.
So Elaine was a great entertainer, and she was married to Crash Corrigan of Corriganville Movie Ranch. Well, I used to go out and appear every other week or so at Corriganville. And I would work in all the shootouts, and Wyatt Earp, I would play Wyatt Earp, and we would do the shootouts there and reenact gunfights of the early West. And so I would hire Elaine to go do these shows with me around town, because you came in as a package, not just the guy with the puppets. But I said, I must have music, microphones, stage facilities. And I always tried to give them more than their money's worth. The audience, not the people that were paying to bring you in.
Yes.
I want them to feel that they really were entertained. So that's why Elaine DuPont was so great. And I tried several other girls from time to time, and it just didn't work. They didn't have the magic.
What's she doing now?
She's married, and she works for Gibraltar Savings, only to keep her handy. She's in public relations because she married a man of means, and so she doesn't have to work. So let's see what we have here glancing through. Oh, here's, that's in the early, early days of at KHJ when we did the Little Rascals. I can tell by the scent. Here's Callie the cat.
Callie had a voice like that. You know, he wasn't too decisive. Too. And he had a tendency to stammer on occasion because he wasn't too definite about things.
And
yeah, those character profiles help quite a bit. Of the puppets.
Yeah, that is the station one. Let's see what we have. Oh, this was when Callie got Valentine's. You see, he felt on Valentine's Day when the mail came in, He came to Ravenswood and me and asked if there's any Valentine. Well, yes, here's some for Ravenswood and here's some for Barky.
Oh, is there any more?
Well, no, that's all.
I can see.
Yeah. Well, there weren't any more Valentine?
No, I guess not, Callie. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you know, the whole idea is to give, not to receive, too. I much rather send out Valentines than to get them, because I send them to all my friends. There isn't another mail today, is there?
No, that's all the mail for today.
Oh, well, I just wondered.
So here you can see.
He suddenly gets all these letters, yeah.
And he got the Valentines started to pour in. And they poured in. And we said, well, boys and girls, in case you have an old Valentine left around the house, why don't you surprise Callie and send it to him? Well, bags of them poured in. Now, these kids weren't getting a prize in return.
Yeah.
We're not going to show your picture on television. We're not going to read your letter. They just sent him.
They really loved him.
Yeah. Same. Could you send him to Callie? 839 to be exact, all sizes, shapes, sizes, and forms, containing everything from candy to money. Immediately following the program, the telephone at KTLA jammed with youngsters wanting to speak to Callie.
That's so funny.
There's the Directors Guild of America when I did shows for them out there. George Sidney, his secretary, called and asked. At one time, my show, for a children's show, mind you, and I would never permit them in TV Guide or any of the publications, I would not let them print children's show because I felt it was not a children's show. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was variety. It was for whoever turned the dial. I had a character to fit grandma, grandpa, mom, mm-hmm, dad, and when I used to host the late show at 11:30, with Duffield Hamilton Holmes, he would specialize in tonight's bowling night. For all of you who have to hang around the house till 1 o'clock in the morning before you can get the alley, our Ravenswood a lot of times would have, tonight is secretary night. Boys and girls, if your mother is a secretary, another night's waitress night. To those unsung heroines who serve us in their daily lives, who cater to our every whim and bring us cold coffee, hot coffee. So I would specialize to people, mm-hmm, and pick out very minute groups and nurses. I had a great following of nurses that were on the late shift in hospitals because whoever plays to them, Ravenswood did, because he disliked kids. See, Ravenswood loved mothers, waitresses, secretaries, nurses, airline stewardesses, but not necessarily in that order. He felt there were plenty of kid shows on the air for kids to watch. So that was his idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And, June McMurray, Fred McMurray's wife, mm-hmm, having us come out to do the show at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. We did that for several years in a row, and I always took Elaine and killed him. There's when I was on Cool over in Phoenix. And also, I would co-host fashion shows at Mountain Shadows. So see, it was not a kid show. It was entertainment. Mm-hmm. There's when Captain Kangaroo appeared at the Hollywood Bowl. And then they had him do some commercials while he was here. And so they got me to work in some of the commercials. Some of the different people of
that,
the
was
day.
That you with Pinto or Vance?
Vance. And we all received our various and sundry things from city government, state, mm-hmm, government, because children's shows were respected in those days because they personalized children entertainment. And we felt we had a certain honor and integrity to the children, mm-hmm, all of us. And you find that as you talk to every one of the fellows out there, Engineer Bill especially, boy, and Sheriff John.
Well, something was interesting about Bill Stella is that he hated showing those cartoons. He felt really bad about the violence and the racist
kind of cartoons
that were being shown. And he really didn't even want to show them.
I got in hot water one year because I wouldn't do the Red Devil fireworks commercials. And the station really got on me. And I said, no, I'm not going to do them. I said, I'm not going to have any of the puppets do fireworks commercials. Too many kids get burned and hurt, and I will stress I'm going to appear at the Coliseum, and I will say, boys and girls, come down to the Coliseum and see professional fireworks, and it's fantastic, and it's more enjoyable than you could ever get for $5. So anyway, all they did then, they got some guy, and they filmed one, and he was in a Red Devil suit, and that's what they ran on the show. Mm-hmm. But, here's some of them. Joan Gardner did that character. I created it for some commercials we did. See, there I am doing Beetle Bailey. These are a couple I created for Arizona Bank.
Those are nice.
Then I used him, Albert Muggs. I used him on the show a lot. He was kind of a Wally Beery-ish.
A robber for a bank commercial.
Yeah. And he wanted someone safe to keep his money and granny, but without the mask. And I made him a cockney with a voice like that. And oh, the stories he could tell about the pirate days. And so he was a great speller. Here's a little guy that was really popular. Started out, made him just for commercials. For Real Gold Orange Concentrate, orange drink.
But he has a voice like that, you know, one of them little high voices, because he's a prairie dog and lived out there on the desert, say, and he searched for gold all his life, and he finally found it on the third shelf in the fourth row at the supermarket. Real gold concentrate. You mix it with water and you got...
But so he became a regular member of the cast.
Mm-hmm. And I started using him for everything, too.
This was a character strictly made for McMahon Furniture Stores. They own, I just sold him outright. They did their commercials.
Oh, he really looks commercial, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know what happened to him.
Clean looking.
There's Kooky. Lend me your comb. Ed Burns.
Really? Really?
But there's some of the characters. And there's Albert Muggs.
That's
see,
great.
But the warmth.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Here, lad, come here.
That is
I'll
a great
tell
puppet.
You about that. And so, that was the opening of Tom Hatton's ice cream store down in Laguna. Did he tell you about that?
No, I never heard about an ice cream store.
He owned an ice cream store.
Oh, really?
Next time you talk to him, say, Walker mentioned the opening of your ice cream store. I used to do commercials for Grand Taste hot dogs, and there was a hot dog. See, his head went all the way up to there, and you take that off, and he was a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a country western square dance type show. Here's Kingsley. There I am sculpting. See, you do all that to get the look, and then pull that off and make those out of cloth. But at least that gave you the look. You were, look at the hair on him. Got a lot of them with Elaine, giving a manicure. But that is so typical of me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's Tom Hatton. That's the Morgan I had at the time. And we were going for the reading of the will.
That is a beautiful picture.
Look at Ravenswood. And we were against a psych going by.
That's great.
And Skip was hidden down in there working those, and I was working Ravenswood. And we were heading for the reading of the will. And suddenly the car didn't go, and we couldn't understand why. And we get out and walk around, and the wheel's missing because someone is trying to prevent us from getting there. And here we are in the old house with the cobwebs and everything.
That's great.
So see, we did real production
yes.
stuff. And you can imagine, Charlie. Well, be like me. And see how they change expressions? Look at his eyes.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
This was at John Tracy Clinic when we would all go down to entertain there. Cartoon Express, when I worked with Engineer Bill. There's Duffield Hamilton Holmes. Now that was 11:30 at night. There were no kids watching then. Strictly an adult show. See, Lane?
I think I had to be in bed by that time. I don't remember that.
But see, there's the wolf, and there's Elaine.
Oh, yes.
And there, she was the teacher on Romper Room, but she was just a little too sexy. Just a little bit too much personality. And there's, I had a children's school for quite a while. So that was the opening of the children's school, a preschool.
Ah, this is great, the people you have.
Yeah. Well, I had worked with Spike Jones, and Dan Blocker was a friend of mine.
I just saw an interview on TV with him.
Clarence Nash. Yeah.
Where does he live now?
In the Carker. I don't know.
Last I heard.
With all the Carker and kids.
So, that's fantastic.
Robinson's. This was a pretty good article. That's from The Times by Cecil Smith. And this was in The Examiner on the cover of TV Guide.
Great.
But at one time, as I started to say, many years ago, my show was in the top five of all multi-weekly television shows. That means everything that's on television, my show was in the top five.
That's amazing.
So it is. I still have some of those old rating books. Oh, this might be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Walker Edmiston doing Cecil? Unheard of. Well, how did that happen? That's a composite photo. I didn't know about that. See, what they did, they took a picture of Cecil and they cut me out and put Walker in there. So I still, somewhere, I have the pictures of all of us receiving the awards with Freeburg and Butler and Clampett. And remember him?
The name?
Jimmy Nelson.
Who does Puppet had a voice like that?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jimmy.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best.
Nestle's makes the very best chocolate.
I don't know. And Farfel.
Yeah, the mouth that clacked.
They did. Yeah, Farfel's jaw clacked. Yeah, when he talked.
And he did, he hosted the Roy Rogers show for a while, didn't he? Or remember him? He
came out of New York.
There we are, there. Well, Farfel.
Bumba.
Yeah, that's the dog.
He was in New York and then he came out here on a visit, wasn't he?
Nestle's quick. So they had us doing some Nestle's commercials. So they put us together. Oh, he was really big.
Yeah.
Oh, we have two of these, I guess. You don't have this one there, do you?
No.
I know we have some more of these, but there's one of these in the other book.
I know it's not there, because I didn't have it.
Thank you.
Now, here we are. Jay North.
And Clarence Nash. Yeah. That's the same puppet he just had on TV.
There's Elaine at the car show. But you can see immediately the attraction with her and the puppets. She was just fantastic. A net full of jello. That's what my daughter used to call her.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's a net full of jello.
That's someone I'm going to try and contact.
Oh, yeah. She should definitely be in there.
Oh, yes.
The influence she had on the children of America. But Elaine, you see me, see there's my elbow and there's my face right there. Esther Williams.
You develop good, strong arms from all that?
Oh, yes. Very powerful. Very powerful neck and back.
Yeah.
Comes great for riding motorcycles.
That's interesting.
But the puppets have always had a strong appeal with women. Always. I was very shy, and I could always take one of the puppets and the best-looking women around.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, they were hugging, and they'd be holding him and talking to him and saying, "Come here, I want to tell you something." "What?" "No, come here, I want to tell you." "What?" "Do you know that his arm is in my head?" "Yeah." "Oh, well, I..." "Oh." I said, "See, you had to open your big mouth, didn't you?" "Well, I didn't know she was going to do it." There's Spike Jones. He used to stop in and visit the show a lot. He just stopped by. One Thanksgiving, I got a phone call. And he said, "Who's your guest star for today?" And I said, "I don't have a guest star today. But it's Thanksgiving. You should have somebody on." I said, "Well, I don't have anybody." He said, "Oh, I'll be there in a few minutes."
He did that once to Bill Stella, too.
He just came over.
Yeah.
And he used to go out to Corriganville and take the kids out. I saw his son recently, just a couple of weeks ago. But he'd go out there, and you would see Spade Cooley's autograph on everything. And it was Spike Jones. And they'd say, "Can we have your autograph?" "Certainly, Spade Cooley." There's Elaine again. I haven't seen her for a while. Oh, and then we were all in these books. You've seen the children's TV guides, I guess. Mm-hmm. You have those. All of us were in those. We didn't even know about them. Oh, and here's Fish Porker. He and I were going to do a show. I created The Further Adventures of Gravy Doggett. And that was going to be Gravy Doggett with a voice like his. So, it progressed. We got Chris Allen to write it, and he had a sidekick, and they worked out of the Alamo Missile Testing Center.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd open on the Alamo and pull back Missile Testing Center, and they blasted off into space for new frontiers. Oh, there's Elaine Brown. Tom Brown. Peter Brown. He's on the soap operas now. Spike. But I have more pictures, so if we get together again in a couple of weeks as things progress, I'll...
I just put that in there.
Which one is this? Oh, the one you get.
Yeah.
So I'll look through and see what extras I have for you.
All right, would you do that? And
and then we'll get together again.
Why don't I give a call in a couple weeks? And we'll see what your schedule looks like.
Oh.
You know, by doing this book, I have this big collection of all the stuff. I have brought things along to have signed. Usually, with Dawes Butler, for instance, I brought all my beanies. I had a whole pile of beanies to have them signed. So whenever I see anyone, I have them signed. So you're lucky you didn't do the voice of, Pillsbury Doughboy or something.
Yeah.
I brought a bag of them, I got a pen. I'll be seeing Sidney Miller in a couple of days.
Oh, I'll tell him hello.
And someone who just called me yesterday was June Allison. I left a message, a couple of Fran and Ollie.
Oh, Fran Allison.
Fran Allison, rather.
Yeah.
I'm thinking June Foray.
Yeah.
Does she live out here now?
Yeah, she lives out in the valley. I always thought she was, permanently in New York. I never thought. I left a message at her agent, to give me a call. I said, I asked if could I send a letter, and he says, no, I'll just tell her that you called. And I said, I never saw her, hear from her again.
Here, this is. Well, let's see now. What do we?
You know what I really like is if you could write their names above them or next to them.
Okay.
Because the names you don't really remember unless you hear them and then you remember them. See if your sense of humor comes out.
Yeah. It's a lot different when you're ad-libbing because it's coming so fast.
Yes.
Jeez, isn't that
good?
Hot fingers?
Not really.
Well, this collection's getting to the point where I'm afraid to have it at home now. I'm afraid to have it at home.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like I'm going to come home and it's going to be robbed. I've been working on it for so long, and it's so such an extensive collection that I'm just really scared to have it at home. I'm looking right now for a restaurant or some place that would be like to have a big display for a year. You know, I think it'd be a neat thing for a restaurant. If there's a restaurant that has room, all you need is this far from the wall, and then the whole wall is a display.
That's why we've been looking around at houses with like 4 bedrooms, so I can turn 3 of them into a museum. Well, we have 4 bedrooms, but I want like a half acre, big garage.
Museum of what?
Memorabilia.
That you've been saving from the shows?
Well, no, everything. I have toys. Toy cars. Vast collection.
I collect toy cars.
Oh, I have quite a collection of toy cars since, well, long before I was a kid. I have everything I had, plus a lot of stuff I picked up. And then,
I specialize in folk toys and wooden toys, like from Europe. I've gone to Europe 5 times, and every time I go, I raid toy shops and try and get old folk toys, you know. So I have a lot of fun collection there. I collect fire engines, little, you know, fire trucks of every kind, little police cars of every kind I can get, and trains.
Yeah.
Not the kind that work electrically, but just trains, wooden trains, and, you know.
Well, that's what I've collected, everything. Military, helmets, uniforms, machine guns, diving helmet, everything. Car stuff. I just have
My mother was a peace freak. She would never let me touch a gun, own a gun, own soldiers.
Well, I don't go hunting. I don't have any guns at work, but I like the World War I machine guns, the big old drum thing with the handle, and the cartoon kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The Japanese Nambu on that thing with all the circles on it, the cooling, things like that. But guns, I don't have any kind of guns that are shootable.
You're a weird object collector kind of.
Yeah.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.